What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
CBS Eye on the World, Malcolm Hoenlein, Conference of Presidents. I'm John Batchelor, and it's a pleasure to welcome Andrea Stricker, Deputy Director of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy's Nonproliferation and Biodefense Program, to help us understand a headline in the Wall Street Journal some days past that is a surprise. U.S.-Europe split on response to Iran's near-weapons-grade nuclear enrichment. Split. A division between the participants in the original JCPOA dating to 2015. There is a graphic with the Wall Street Journal piece showing the Fordo underground facility. Andrea, very good evening to you. What is the nature of the divide? Has this always been here or is it fresh? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening to you, Malcolm and John. Great to be here. Well, this divide is interesting because the Biden administration decided not to pursue a resolution of censure against Iran. It was caught enriching uranium to almost weapons grade or atomic weapons grade, which is a level of 90%. It was caught at 84%. And in this case, we have Germany, the United Kingdom, and France all wanting to censure Iran at the IAEA's latest meeting. But Washington decided, well, they're not going to lead on this one. So it was a very strange situation.
Washington,
how do you explain?
Just a minute. I wanted to say they're not going to lead on what? Fill out what they're not going to lead on, Andrea.
Well, usually the United States will lead Europe in pursuing a resolution of censure. That's where the 35-nation board of governors of the IAEA will essentially pass a decision saying what Iran has to do, that it has to cooperate with the agency. It needs to explain why it was enriching uranium to almost atomic weapons grade. But the United States decided to withhold censure this time, even though they had alluded to the possibility at the last IAEA meeting in November that they might even refer Iran's case to the UN Security Council for sanctions. So it's just strange that the United States is giving Iran more time, even as it approaches the nuclear threshold.
Malcolm.
Do you believe that behind this is an attempt to resurrect the JCPOA, that the U.S. now seems to hold out hope where the Europeans, who were the ones pushing for it, do not anymore and are particularly upset by the 84% enrichment, by the women treatment of women? The U.S. issued censures against sanctions this week on the women's issues, but not on the really vital issue at the IAEA.
I do. I think they are all hopelessly clinging to this 2015 nuclear accord. It's a failure of imagination, really. They don't think that a pressure campaign would work. They don't think a credible military threat is going to deter Iran. So they think by withholding pressure that Iran won't go forward with further nuclear advances, when in fact the opposite is true. I think history has shown over the last 20 years of dealing with the Iran case that when the United States and Europe line up together and they push back against Iran's advances, then Iran takes a step back. But they've linked themselves hopelessly to this 2015 deal, and they don't seem to see any of their way forward.
The world has changed since 2015 profoundly, war in Ukraine. Is there a linkage by the U.S. or the U.N. between Iran's nuclear weapons program and Iran's predation by participating in killing Ukrainians with those drones, those exploding drones? Is everybody saying, you know, we've got to take into account that Iran is a bad actor?
I think more so we're seeing that. We're seeing Iran arming Russia in Ukraine is getting the attention of the Europeans because this is a war happening in their backyard. That's probably why they're more willing to act at the IAEA. The Biden administration should be concerned. They see what Russia is able to do if a country has nuclear weapons. And that's what we should be avoiding in the Iran case. We don't want Iran having atomic weapons and able to invade its adversaries. And then everyone in the West is concerned about escalation.
Malcolm?
There have been a number of reports, and maybe you can clarify some of them. One is that Russia and Iran made a deal as part of the overall exchanges. And as you said, ships have been arriving from Iran with huge quantities of shells and ammunition for the Russian forces in Ukraine, the drone deal, but also that Russia will return the enriched uranium that was it was given to safeguard as part of the JCPOA, and that it will now return that to the stockpiles being held by Iraq, by Iran. And overall, are you surprised then by the statements made by Grassi, who has generally been pretty tough on this, the head of the IAEA, but seemed to be taking the exact opposite position this week, this past week?
Yeah, I'm surprised. IAEA Director General Grossi, of course, went to Tehran last week, and he seems to do this right before every IAEA board meeting, and he comes back with what he calls some big agreement. And then, of course, after the board meeting and the threat of censure passes, then Iran doesn't follow through. In this case, Iran pledged to restore some of the monitoring measures that it has taken away since 2021. And it also pledged to cooperate on a separate IAEA investigation into its nuclear weapons work. I think Grossi is just concerned that Iran is going to go to atomic weapons grade and start stockpiling this enriched uranium. And he's really feeling like he's doing a last-ditch effort to prevent a total failure of the nonproliferation regime in Iran.
Andrea, a technical question. The report is that what's at issue here are uranium particles enriched to 83.7%. What does that mean?
Well, essentially, it means that Iran is a short step away from atomic weapons grade uranium. They're not stockpiling the material as far as we know so far. That's what the IAEA's reported. But it means that they were probably letting the enrichment level rise in their centrifuge cascades and then blending it down before they accumulated anything. They were probably doing this because they didn't think they would get caught. But so luckily, we do have the IAEA's eyes on this, and they were able to detect it. But more than a month went by before this is all getting really reported and put out for Western states to be able to act on it. So I think that is something troubling.
Is that what you meant, Malcolm, when you did that very careful presentation, not 12 months or 12 days, but 12 minutes, something like that?
No, and he said not, it was Colin Powell said, when we started, we thought it would be 12 years. Now it would be 12 months till the Iranians are capable of doing, of producing a weapon, and which is not inconsistent, I think, with what Andrea is saying here about the assessment of it. What is surprising is the weakness of the statements that have been coming out. And the finding of the particles was by chance. It was just particles that were left behind. They said it was an offshoot of this, 40% enrichment, but clearly it was not. Yet you don't see clear condemnations. You don't see the kind of tough statements that would have any impact and tell Iran, you better move on this or else.
We have a minute, Malcolm, if you have a question for Andrea.
Well, that's my question is, do we see any kind of pressure being brought to bear that Iran will have an incentive to change its behavior? Or do we see Russia really sending back the enriched uranium? Do you really see the centrifuges, the six, the cascades being speeded up and that we have a fait accompli, that there's no reversing?
I think we still have time to act. So I think, first of all, the Biden administration needs to impose massive economic and financial pressure on Tehran and make clear that more is to come if they do move toward a breakout. They've sort of been coasting along with getting away with selling oil, for one thing. So with their rial plummeting and the regime under pressure at home, I think we do have a good chance to deter them from taking further steps. We also need to demonstrate a credible threat to use force against the program. And that's not because we want to start a war, but we want to deter them from breaking out altogether. So those are at least two steps we could take. And they may send the uranium, the Russians may send uranium back. And there's probably not a whole lot we can do about that. Iran already has quite a big stockpile of uranium, though.
Andrea Stricker is the deputy director of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy's Nonproliferation and Biodefense Program. Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Malcolm.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.